The heat, fouled by exhaust fumes and unwashed by the slightest breeze, rose at her like the heat from a lift shaft. But her Slavic features registered no complaint. She was neither dressed nor built for exertion on a hot day, being in stature very short indeed, and fat, so that she had to roll a little in order to get along. Her black dress of ecclesiastical severity possessed neither a waist nor any other relief, except for a dash of white lace at the neck and a large metal cross, well fingered but of no intrinsic value at the bosom. Her cracked shoes, which in walking tended outwards at the points, set a stern tattoo rattling between the shuttered houses. Her shabby bag, full since early morning, gave her a slight starboard list, and told clearly that she was used to burdens. There was also fun in her, however. Her grey hair was gathered in a bun behind her, but there remained one sprightly forelock that flopped over her brow to the rhythm of her waddle. A hardy humour lit her brown eyes. Her mouth, set above a fighter's chin, seemed ready, given half a reason, to smile at any time. Reaching her usual bus stop, she put down her shopping bag and with her right hand massaged her rump, just where it met the spine, a gesture she made often these days, though it gave her little relief. The high stool in the warehouse where she worked every morning as a checker possessed no back, and increasingly she was resenting the deficiency. "Devil," she muttered to the offending part. Having rubbed it, she began plying her black elbows behind her like an old town raven preparing to fly. "Devil," she repeated. Then, suddenly aware of being watched, she wheeled round and peered upward at the heavily built man towering behind her. He was the only other person waiting, and indeed at that moment, the only other person in the street. She had never spoken to him, yet his face was already familiar to her. So big, so uncertain, so sweaty. She had seen it yesterday. She had seen it the day before, and for all she knew, the day before that as well. My Lord, she was not a walking diary. For the last 3 or 4 days, this weak, itchy giant, waiting for a bus or hovering on the pavement outside the warehouse, had become a figure of the street for her, and what was more, a figure of a recognizable type, though she had yet to put her finger on which. She thought he looked traqué, hunted, as so many Parisians did these days. She saw so much fear in their faces, in the way they walked, yet dared not greet each other. Perhaps it was the same everywhere. She wouldn't know. Also, more than once, she had felt his interest in her. She had wondered whether he was a policeman. She had even considered asking him, for she had this urban cockiness. His lugubrious build suggested the police. So did the sweaty suit and the needless raincoat that hung like a bit of old uniform from his forearm. If she was right, and he was police, then high time too. The idiots were finally doing something about the spate of pilfering that had made a bear garden of her stock-checking for months. By now the stranger had been staring down at her for some time, however, and he was staring at her still. "I have the misfortune to suffer in my back, monsieur," she confided to him finally, in her slow and classically enunciated French. "It is not a large back, but the pain is disproportionate. You are a doctor, perhaps? An osteopath?" Then she wondered, looking up at him, whether he was ill, and her joke out of place. An oily gloss glistened on his jaw and neck, and there was unseeing self-obsession about his pallid eyes. He seemed to see beyond her, to some private trouble of his own. She was going to ask him this. "You are perhaps in love, monsieur? Your wife is deceiving you?" And she was actually considering steering him into a café for a glass of water, or a tisane, when he abruptly swung away from her and looked behind him, then over her head up the street the other way. And it occurred to her that he really was afraid, not just traqué, but frightened stiff. So perhaps he was not a policeman at all, but a thief, though the difference, she knew well, was often slight. "Your name is Maria Andreevna Ostrakova?" he asked her abruptly, as if the question scared him. He was speaking French, but she knew that it was not his mother tongue, any more than it was her own, and his correct pronunciation of her name, complete with patronymic, already alerted her to his origin. She recognized the slur at once, and the shapes of the tongue that made it, and she identified too late, and with a